the man of God preaching to us. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody use any more Bible verses than what Brother Bill Wakely does. And I want him to know, I want him to do just that tonight. I appreciate the Word of God. What have we come to that we apologize when we read so much of the Bible? I've heard preachers almost do it. Well, let's listen. When the man of God's reading us from the Word, we know he's telling us the truth. Amen. Brother Bill, you'll come and sing and preach to us tonight. I want you to take your liberty and obey the Lord. Hallelujah.
I think she's going to renege on me again tonight. I'll qualify that a little bit, Brother Steve, about the scriptures. I thought surely that after waiting on the Lord to turn me loose for about 3.5 years to start preaching that sometime I just go to church and maybe testify and take off preaching and get started, you know. But it didn't happen like that, and I had to tell Brother Donnie Vaughn I felt like I was called to preach. He said, all right, you'll preach tomorrow night. That was on Saturday night, I think. So I spent about all Sunday evening over in the back 40. And I don't know that I've ever been so scared in my life. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I've got to have something out of this book. Because I'm too young. I don't have a lot of experiences. I don't have a lot of stories to tell. I don't have a lot of things to fill in that maybe the older preachers would have. And so that's how come me to get started like this. And I've just always felt the same. I still feel like, Lord, I've got to have a lot of your word here. So anyhow, that's where we're at. But we're glad to be with you again tonight. And I really enjoyed Brother, what was his name? Christian? His song just now. And I've always liked that song. He did a great job singing it. And I couldn't help but wonder about some of us older ones here, maybe like myself, that don't have a voice to sing. But I can sing that song in my heart. And I can tell you that he'll take you through the fire again. You may come through it today, but you'll go through it again somewhere or another. And the Lord will do it. And I tell you, I wish I could sing. I'd just sing the glory down there. But I can't do it. My old voice is too bad. Brother Joe Dunn said one time, he said he had a good voice. He just didn't have any control over it. And that's kind of the way mine is, I guess. But we appreciate the invitation, Brother Steve, to preach again here. And we was planning on coming to be with the children in service tonight and wasn't planning on preaching, just coming. But anyway, we'll try a little while. But you'll have to help me now. So I know you've done a good job doing that in years past, and I'm sure you will tonight. You'll just get in there and help me. But I felt like reading just an old familiar verse of Scripture in the book of Matthew. And to start out here tonight, in the 16th chapter, and it was dealing with Jesus and what men were saying about him, and he had heard this and asked his disciples about who does men say that I, the Son of Man, am, and so they gave him the different answers that people were given about Jesus. And then in verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I've greatly enjoyed this passage of Scripture for some years now. And I know that Peter had an experience with the Lord, and I've had an experience with the Lord, and he and I would have answered the same thing. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe he was speaking for the whole bunch of the disciples, for all of them, because they knew who he was. But Jesus had a great answer to him and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I'm glad for that tonight, aren't you? Flesh and blood cannot reveal the Lord unto us. It has to be a heavenly revelation. It has to come from God Himself, that we could know Him and know who He is. Glory to God. Jesus said in John 17, I believe it is, I want to turn. If I've got the right one here, I may not have. No, I want to go to Matthew. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 11. And Jesus prayed a little prayer to the Father one day in verse 25. Said, At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. I feel very privileged tonight. I feel very special in the eyes of God tonight that he has revealed himself unto me. That I know about Jesus and about the Father, and about the good Holy Ghost, and about heaven, and eternal life, and how to live for the Lord here in this world, has been revealed to me from heaven itself. It comes like that and can be found no other way. Men cannot teach this. Even you and I, Brother Steve, we can't teach this. But if the anointing comes, the Holy Ghost begins to move, and then the anointing falls on your heart that you can open up to the Word, then yes, through man we can, but that's the only way.
That's right.
And I'm glad God made it this way, that it has to be from heaven itself. And I feel very privileged that the Lord revealed it unto me. I surely wasn't worthy, Brother Charles. I was not worthy. I was raised in the 60s, a teenager during the 60s, and that was the starting of where we are today in America. That's the reason our people don't know how to do anything, is because of that mindset that they took during the 60s, and we had the hippies and all of that kind of stuff, and I've told folks before, might have told you, but And there was a period of time there that I'd have been a hippie. I wanted to be and I tried to be, but I couldn't be because I didn't have the mindset. I couldn't think like one of them. And you got to think like one if you're going to be one, you know. And I couldn't do that. I didn't have any desire for drugs of any kind. And I thought that a man gets infatuated with we was boys, all right, not men. Boys get infatuated with girls that it ought to be something pretty serious. And that wasn't the way the hippies thought about it. They didn't think about that. When I took my wife home with me, we had a marriage license. We think it's gone. We can't find it. We think we did. We're not sure. If somebody required it, we'd be in trouble. But I think we're married. I really do. But you know, it seemed to me like that it had to be the old-fashioned way. And that's the way I thought. I couldn't think the new way. And I thank God today that I didn't. But I was still yet a wicked and a vile person. But one night, the Lord revealed himself to me. Glory to God in heaven. He didn't have to do it. I was a backslider. He could have let me go on my journey and wound up in the pits of hell. But he revealed himself to me one night. And it came from heaven above. Glory. And everybody will not know the Son. Only those to whom the Son will reveal himself. Glory. So you here tonight that are saved with a good experience from God are a blessed people to know Him for yourself. Yes. Glory to God in heaven. These children here tonight are saying their verses so well, and I can't say them that well anymore, brother. My memories are leaving me on hush, Mom, on a lot of things, and I can't remember my verses like I used to, you know, and it's kind of hard. I have to have the Lord to help me to remember them like I used to, but these children, they're learning something about the Lord, but yes, sir. One day,
yes, sir.
Oh, I don't know how many of them's already prayed. I don't know about that, but somewhere, one of these days, I'm sure the Lord will move right in. And suddenly they'll know. I was 12 years old, I think. It may have been 11. I'm not sure, but somewhere along in there, we were in a little service in Umpire, Arkansas, one night, and I think was in revival. I'm not sure who it was. It may have been Sister Milliken. I'm not sure now, but anyway, it was a woman preacher, I think, and that's about all I can remember. But one night there was a sister way back here on, I don't know which side, but I'll say over here. She gave out a message in tongues. And in just a few moments on the other side of the house, there was another sister that gave the interpretation. And I don't know what it was. I can't remember that now. But it brought old-time Holy Ghost conviction on a young boy. And I fell down beside my seat and I began to pray. And I didn't get saved that night, but I think the next night I came back and still feeling like praying. And I prayed through until, as a young boy, I knew who Jesus was. I knew about Him all of my life. I've been taught about Him from my earliest days. But one night I met Him and I knew who He was for myself. The Lord loves to reveal Himself unto you and I. And I'm so glad that he does. And I do not want to take this for granted that the Lord has given unto me. I read in the Bible about the old time prophets that the Holy Ghost moved on, and they wrote about things that you and I know about today. But it wasn't for them. And they realize it's not. It's for somebody on down the line of ways. But they wrote it down, and we've read about it. But one day it came to pass that Jesus revealed himself to this world, and he began to call men out into old time salvation. And the Bible said in Peter that the angels desire to look into this.
Yes, they
do. Oh, we are down here on this earth, and we're battling against the powers of Satan. But in heaven, there's a host of angels that would love to know more about why we battle against the powers of darkness.
Thank you, Lord.
Saved by grace. They've never found that that you and I have found. And they'd love to look into this more perfectly and to understand it. But you and I know what they do not know and what they never will know. Because there's going to be a time that we will sing a song in heaven that the angels cannot sing. Won't you be glad when you get there? And maybe we could look back and say, I remember, Lord, when you revealed yourself unto me. Glory to God in heaven. The Lord did not stop revealing himself to me the night that I got saved. But he drew me again. And he wanted me to know more about him and the depths of his spirit. Glory to God in heaven. We were in the Athens camp meeting the same year that Karen and I got saved. That time the meeting was 10 nights, and now they've shortened it down considerably, but at that time it covered 2 weekends. And that first Sunday afternoon, a little incident happened with a young boy about 10 or 11 years old named Keith Vaughn. Y'all know who Keith is, don't you? Well, we broke for lunch, and of course they had dinner and wanted everybody to stay. And I didn't care anything about staying, so I told Karen us to go on home. We went out, and the family got in the car, and I opened the door to get in, and little Keith Vaughn got between me and the seat and wouldn't let me get in the car. And he was wanting us to stay and eat. And you know, just a little boy, I never told him about this. I think I've only mentioned it to one other church somewhere or another about who it was, but it was Keith. And I kept telling him, I said, no, Keith, we're not going to stay. We're going on home. No, you don't stay. Won't you stay? You know, everybody here wants you to stay. Won't you stay for dinner? You know, how you going to get out of the way if you stay? And all of that. We, you know, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And he wouldn't move, and I wouldn't back down. And after a while, I just got him by the shoulders and just kind of pulled him over here and got in the car and drove off. Y'all ever feel conviction, condemnation, anything like that? Well, I stayed under that all evening long. I knew that what the Lord was telling me that day, you'd better get a hold of more of my spirit or you may not make this journey. And so he brought me under conviction just like I was a sinner. I felt it all evening. And I couldn't wait to get back to church that night and get in the altars. And I didn't think there's ever going to open it up to those that needed to be sanctified or deal with the Holy Ghost. Was waiting on the lost to come and nobody came. And after a while, I think Brother G.W. was preaching and he opened it up to all the rest of us. And boy, I headed to the altar. And you know what I found that night? The Lord brought me through to an old-time experience called sanctification. And oh, He sanctified me holy, and He sanctified me right. And that night was the first time since I'd gotten saved that He took that old craving for cigarettes out of my system. And I've never wanted another one since that day. Glory to God. I never smoked one since I got saved, but I wanted one all the time. But He cured that night, and He fixed a lot of things in my heart and brought me into greater knowledge and understanding of Him. I didn't understand at the time what He had really done for me, but looking back, I can see it much better now. We are holiness people. And we have a foundation. And it's a solid foundation. And sanctification is the bedrock of that sanctified experience of our way of living. Because there is where He separated me from the world. I didn't understand it all, but I knew that I had gone deeper in the Lord. I didn't even try to put a name on it that night, but I knew that there was a great difference in the way I felt about everything. It was because the Lord sanctified me and made me that vessel of honor that is sanctified and meet for the Master's use. And prepared, He said, unto every good work. And I didn't realize then, but I've read it since and I know where it is now. It is that sanctifying that keeps me from the evil that's in this world. Sanctification will put a boundary on everything so that you won't go too far. That's why He keeps us from the evil that's in the world. That's why we know not to do this or not to go there or not to say this or be associated with something else. And I didn't know all of that then, but I knew the Lord had taken me. And this is what the old-time holiness people built their religion upon when they came out of Azusa Street a long time ago. But that ain't all that it did. Jesus, when He was a-praying about sanctification to the Father, He said it like this. In John 17 and verse 21, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. I like that, don't you? And there is no theology that can teach the oneness between us and our Lord. It cannot make it happen. Mike, I got real upset up there the other day when I couldn't see.
I want to sit down face to face with you in human form and not on the television. And they said, you can't do it. And I said, I'm his own time pastor. And they said, well, you've got to be a minister and 4 years of college. I said, I've got 4 years of college, but it wasn't in the seminary. And I thought, I know a lot of holiness preachers that's never been to the seminary that can preach rings around anybody else I know. And I thought I was just as qualified to go back and see you face to face as anybody else.
Sure.
And I've been mulling it around and taking it to the legal system. I probably won't, but it just aggravated me very much that they put the separation and the differences here.
Yeah.
I believe I've been to a seminary, but it's on my knees on the back 40, and I found out something from God that I'd like to tell others about that they're needing. Oh! And it's a hard thing for me to grasp, Brother Steve, that you and I never having known each other until some years back meeting through the ministry can be as one.
Yes, sir.
And that you and I can be as one with Jesus.
Yes.
And the Father.
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost. That cannot be legislated. It cannot be taught. It cannot be learned. It has to be revealed from heaven above. Ain't you glad that God wants to bring us into His revelations?
Oh,
I read where the Father looked down one day and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Yes.
He didn't try to take the Son's place. He said, "This is my Son."
Right.
And Jesus told some people, said, "If you see me, you see my Father." He said, "The words I speak are not mine, but they're my Father's."
Yeah.
He didn't try to take His place.
No.
Yet they're one.
Right.
And here's the Holy Ghost mixed in all of this. And He agrees with it all.
Yes, He does.
And here we are.
Thank you, Lord.
Ooh. One old ark and one old oaky. Hello, glory to God in heaven. And the Lord has revealed Himself unto us.
Thank you, Lord.
That we could be one with them in heaven today. There needs to be no separating there, but we must walk as one, and He will. He'll guide us with His eye. If we're one, that's all that it'll take. It's just His eye.
Thank you, Lord.
I've wakened in the middle of the night on numerous occasions through the years. And the Holy Ghost I could feel all around me. And that still, small voice began to speak. And I could hear the voice of my God, my Savior, speaking to me through that Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And there I was, nothing but just a human, flesh and blood, that's all. A man that one time was black-hearted in sin, but now then could hear the voice of the Lord as He came in and began to speak. Whew. I don't feel worthy of Him tonight, I can tell you for sure. But I'm so glad that I know what I know about Him. Glory to God in heaven. He didn't stop that Sunday night by sanctifying me. But 3 nights later on Wednesday night, He took me through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. And my tongue lost its ability to control itself. And I began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance unto me. It wasn't anything that I learned, Brother Bruce. No, you can't learn this, as people are trying to teach it and folks are trying to learn it, but you can't learn this. It has to come from God. It's revealed from Him. I want to tell us what we know about the Lord today is heavenly. It is not earthly, but it's altogether heavenly.
Service already tonight. He's here among us tonight. Glory to God.
But I wonder who he's like to get a hold of tonight to take to deeper knowledge and understanding about him. Woo.
When I begin to seek the Lord that Sunday night, I cannot remember ever saying, "Lord, sanctify." I can't remember ever saying through those days until Tuesday night when Karen received the Holy Ghost ahead of me one night. I can't remember telling the Lord, "Sanctify me, fill me with the Holy Ghost." All I was looking for, Brother Moore, was more of Him. I needed to go deeper. That's all I knew. I figured He'd take care of the names of it later. It didn't make me any difference as long as I could get what I was needing from Him. And He took me through. Glory. But I remember that night before I received it, when Karen received the Holy Ghost, and I felt the Spirit just go through me as it went into her. And it moved me around like I'd never been moved. But I didn't receive Him that night. But that night when I went home and laid on my bed, we didn't get there till the wee hours of the morning, probably 4 o'clock or more that morning. But I laid down that morning and I said, "Lord, if You'll let me feel that one more time, I'll do my best to give myself over to Him and let Him come in." And I was able to do that the next night. Back up under the front seat in Athens Holiness Church, on my back, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Woo! And He ain't never left me. He's been there.
Oh yes.
Through the trials.
Thank You, Lord.
The valleys. Climbing up the rough side of them. I climbed up some of them. I've been there, Brother Moore, when I'm almost certain that I had a nervous breakdown. It seemed like everything in me come apart. But the Holy Ghost never left me. The Spirit of the Lord brought me through. Somehow or another, I'm still here tonight because He brought me through. Oh, I tell you, what He's given us is heavenly. It came from God Himself.
Yes, sir,
and nobody else could bring it to us.
Right.
Only Him.
Right?
And only to Him whomsoever He will. Only to those to whomsoever He will. We have to have a special invitation from God. There has to be that dealing of the Holy Ghost with our soul. And I know what it's like to want to be saved and couldn't feel a thing. My wife was saved in January the 16th, 77. And I realized just almost immediately after she got saved, maybe for the first time since we'd been married, this is what our home is needing. And so I got to wanting the Lord to save me.
We went to church Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If there was a revival around close, we was going to the revival. And I couldn't feel a thing. I don't know how many messages I heard preached in that span between there and March the 23rd. But oh, I'd about give up. I thought, Lord, surely I've gone so far, you'll never deal with me again. And I don't know. I just wondered if I ever would feel anything again. But that Wednesday night, Brother Don Yvonne got to preaching. And I was probably the only sinner there. But he got to preaching about that stone. Said, if you fall on him, be broken. But if that stone falls on you, he'll grind you to powder. And I felt what I was wanting to feel. I felt conviction.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, that conviction is something important. My, it is. I felt like the vilest sinner. It made me feel miserable. But I knew that's what I was having to feel. Because that was going to be my invitation. And I sat there and I wondered, Lord, if he don't give an invitation to come and pray, I wonder will I have the strength to get up and go. But I didn't have to worry about it. And Brother Donnie gave an invitation. And I didn't wait for nobody to come and beg me. I got Karen by the hand and we started down the aisle. I knelt down there that night and I prayed through. And I found something from heaven that I was needing. And I still need tonight. Oh, glory. But I don't know how many people I've preached to in these last, I guess, 31 years next month. I don't know how many that I have seen like Felix, trembling, tears running down their faces. Holy Ghost was a dealing. The Lord was a saying, won't you come? And they would fight it off. And I've seen a lot of them as they turned and walked away over the years, not knowing if they would ever feel that one more time. Oh, Peter, you knew who he was that day. But there was a day when you was just an old sinner boy. And Jesus came a-walking down by the seashore. And he saw you and your brother Andrew. And he said, follow me. Something in that got a hold of them boys' hearts. They just left all. And they went and followed Jesus. And they went on down the road a little ways. And there was James and John. And the Lord spoke to them, follow me. And they left their father Zebedee. I don't know what Zebedee thought when they just walked away from him and left him and went with a stranger. Glory, but they went with Jesus Christ because this is not of man. This is from heaven. This is an invitation from God. He can single out who he will. He can speak to who he will. And if he decides never to speak again, he won't. He doesn't have to. But if he does speak to us, I hope and pray that we'll say, yes, Lord, I hear you. And I'll follow you as far as you want me to go. I'll follow you. Glory to God. Glory. I wonder who here the Lord might be speaking to tonight. Somebody may need to know more about the Lord. We are living in the most dangerous time the church has ever encountered. There has never been a time of deception like there is today. And if we have a year, it'll be a year's worse then when we get to that time. Because God has moved back enough to give Satan his time to set up his kingdom on this earth. It'll be short-lived, but he'll have his kingdom. And we can look at America tonight, and we ought to be able to see that we're rushing toward that day. We're rushing toward that time with our thought patterns and our lifestyles are going that direction. And then if you have a saved experience and that's all you have, oh, could I tell you tonight, you need to be sanctified holy. Could I tell you, if that's where you are, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, because we need all we can have from heaven to make it through the time that we're in. I know the Lord has promised us this. In the book of Daniel, he said, if our name is written in the book, Michael, that great angel that stands for the people, will rise up in the last days, and he'll deliver everyone whose name is found in the book. But will you be able to keep your name there without something more from heaven, when God's got an abundance of his Spirit, a storehouse filled tonight that he can pour out upon us and fill us with more of his good Spirit? And the saints cannot bring it to you, but they can sure help pray it down. Ooh, I don't know where I'd have been seeking the Lord for more if the saints hadn't gathered around me and got to beating me on the back and telling me to hold on and turn loose. I don't know where I'd be, but they helped me. And if I hit a little low somewhere, some of them brothers around me probably reached God again, and I could feel that Spirit, and it helped me to pray. But it's still between us individually and the great God of heaven, and nobody can do it for us. And nobody can take it away. I love that part. No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Satan himself cannot take us out. The only way we'll leave this is leave it ourselves, to turn around and give it up and walk away from it. But there is no power on earth that can take this away from us. And they can't break the communication. As long as we've got life, they may cut our tongue out that we couldn't say a word in prayer. But I've prayed a many a prayer in my heart, hadn't you? And I've touched the throne of grace.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my Lord, I'm excited tonight about what the Lord has given us that flesh and blood cannot reveal. It only comes from the revelation of God himself revealing it unto us. I don't know, but what the night I got saved, there might have been some angels around Umpire, Arkansas, looking on that wicked old sinner boy. One man told me later, he said, I'd have believed anybody in Umpire would have got saved before Bill Wakely. But I got saved. If there was any angels there, they was looking on and desiring to know more about what that sinner boy was a feeling. And I'm glad that I'm rejoicing about it today. I don't feel so strong in body as I used to. But I feel the strength of the Spirit stronger than I've ever felt before in my life. I have felt a burden these last 9-10 months like I have never felt before in my life. And I'm asking God, don't lighten the burden, Lord. If there's any way that I can bear it stronger, give me more. Because we're running out of time. I won't say I'll never pastor again, brother. But I know what I want to do. I want to die on the evangelistic field. That's what I'd like to do. That's where my burden is. To try to reach for another soul somewhere. And every now and then one is reached, but not near enough. God is still dealing with hearts. The door of mercy is not closed yet, but He's not reaching like He used to reach to bring in 40 and 50 souls in a meeting. That ain't the way it is anymore. If I was lost tonight, I believe I'd be very worried that I might fail to reach my time if I didn't earnestly look toward God. I know you can't pray if the Lord don't help you. Because I tried it that day when Karen prayed through right beside her. She wept and prayed and went through and was saved. And there was not a word in my mouth that I could say to God. Not a one. All I could do was wait there beside her until she got through. Glory. But that night, when the Lord dealt with me, it was a different story. I don't know how many words I spoke to God around that altar. But I do know that I remember shedding many bitter tears for all the sins that I had committed. But the Lord knew the language of tears. He knew that. And after a while, they turned to tears of joy when I knew I'd been forgiven and my name was written in heaven. And I believe it's still written there tonight. And it was not put there by the hand of man. Whoo! I don't know if it was Jesus or if it was the Father, but one of them took the Lamb's Book of Life.
Oh, yes.
And they wrote my name down in there.
Oh,
William Jackson Wakely was born again.
Thank you, Lord.
March 23rd, 1977, and he started on his way to heaven because God revealed himself to me. And I still marvel at when he speaks to me, that he's speaking to me from heaven. And I'm down here in a wicked and a vile nation. And I'm a hearing His voice and a feeling His Spirit and knowing that presence of God. I marvel with that. But I'm thankful tonight that He revealed Himself to me. If someone asks you tonight, whom do ye say that I, Jesus, was saying, the Son of Man am, what would you say tonight? I'd say, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Another time Peter spoke when he said, will you also go away? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'd like to just get a song, if we could, tonight. And just give us a little invitation. I've enjoyed getting to try to preach to you one more time. Whew. We're on a great journey, church. And there's not a single one of us here yet that has heard the Lord say, "Well done." And there's going to be many that'll fall away between here and the revelation of that son of perdition, the man of sin. I don't want to be one of him. And nobody can make me go there. But if I get a little cold and indifferent and a little slack, oh, I'll start listening to voices that I don't normally listen to. I'd like to know always who's talking to me, wouldn't you? I'd like to know where that's coming from. And this book right here, this word, this will tell us the kind of voice that he is that speaks to us to deceive. But it also tells us about the voice of Jesus when that voice speaks to guide us into everlasting life. I want to know which one that's speaking. And a lot of people are listening to the wrong voice. And they're staying down and discouraged down in the valleys. Oh, in the valleys. He likes to speak loud. I've been there in the valleys. I've been there when I walked out behind my house or in front of it one night and looked up to heaven and I said, "God, do you even know where I am? Glory." But he knew where I was all along. But there'd been a voice of telling me, "God won't hear you anymore. He'll not bring you out of this trial. He'll not bring you out of this valley." But one day, he brought me out of that valley. And I'm still a-going with that valley behind me now, on my way toward heaven. Who's a-talking to you, church? Is the Lord a speaking to you, or is Satan a speaking to you? Are you here and you're lost? Are you here and you need to go deeper? Would you stand with us tonight? While we sing, the altars are open. If you'd like to come and pray.